want to begin by sharing a story with you that you will be able to relate, I promise you. When it starts out, you're going to be like, what is this guy talking about? But a number of years ago, before we had cable TV in our area, we had the opportunity to have satellite TV. How many people at some point in your life had satellite television? It sure sounds good at the start, right? It's awesome, low deal, and then what, after a year or two, right, they bump you up, and you're like, what is going on? But anyways, I don't want to talk about that, right? What I want to talk about is when they sold us the package. You know, at that time, you could opt to install it yourself and save, I don't know, 50 or 60 bucks. Now, I'm one of those kind of people, like, of course I can do this. And so I signed for it and paid my money, and so they give me this big box, and I open the thing, and it's not much bigger than this stand, you know, it's round like this, and it actually has some of the same controls on it where you can adjust it all different ways. And they told me, the salesman said, hey, yeah, you know, the satellite that you want to link up to is somewhere over Texas. And so, just so you know, Texas is that way. And so you think, okay, well, great. You open the box, set it all up, and kind of point it towards Texas, and voila, right? Well, I did that, and voila, nothing happened, right? And so I decided, you know, and I'm notorious for this, I sometimes will jump ahead and do something, and then I'm like, oh, I guess I should read the directions. So I pull the directions out, and step one, they tell you have to set the elevation. And so I look at it, and they show you the picture, and again, there's a thing very much like this on it so that you could set the elevation, and it was a certain degree elevation. I don't remember what it was, but I did exactly to the degrees they said and locked it in, and okay, great, awesome, and still doesn't work, right? I'm like, oh, okay, I got to look at step two now. So step two, and they say, well, you have to set the azimuth. And I'm like, what's an azimuth? I got no idea what that is. So I read a little bit further, and what it has to do with is this direction. So the elevation is up and down. The azimuth is this way. And the term azimuth actually means the number of degrees from due north. So for us, due north is that way. And so it had to be so many degrees. Again, I don't remember how many degrees it was, but I remember setting it to that and thinking, okay, I'm done, right? And then you have to turn your television on and set it on test. And then you see how strong the signal is. And you wiggle things a little bit, both ways, up and down, until it gets you the strongest signal. And then you're done. Now, why am I telling you about installing an obsolete satellite dish that happened years ago? Here's the thing. The elevation had to be set first before the azimuth. Here's the problem for you and I. Often, here I am. I've been talking for 4 weeks. This will be 4 weeks. I'm talking about hearing from God, hearing the voice of God. And for some of you, you're like, what the heck? I'm dealing with my wife. I'm dealing with my husband. I'm dealing with my job. I'm dealing with relationships here on the earth. How can I ever focus on hearing from God when I got all this going on? When I get this straightened out, then I will focus on hearing from God. Do you see where the problem is? So what you're trying to do is set the azimuth first before you set the elevation. It doesn't work that way. Look at the cross. It's the vertical that's the longest. That's where we have to start. In other words, you have to hear from God before you can do the azimuth. You have to hear from God before you can begin to have proper, healthy, wholesome relationships. That's the way it is. Now, the problem is, because we live in a natural world, we're so focused on the natural. I get it. I'm one of you, okay? So, in other words, you know, the fire's in front of you. You're like, I got to put this fire out. And the last thing you want to do is take time aside to seek God, to hear his voice. But here's the thing. You're not like the rest of the world. The rest of the world stumbles in the darkness. But the Bible says this, you are the light of the Lord. Walk ye as children of light. And the only way you can walk in the light of the Lord is to hear his voice, because it's his word that lights our path before us. He's the one who illuminates our way. And so the next time you're trying to deal with the azimuth, the next time you're having a conversation with someone and that relationship isn't going right, whether it be at work or wherever, you need to stop and take a minute and say, is my elevation right? Is my heart right in this? Have I sought the Lord? Have I heard his voice for this circumstance? Or am I stumbling in the dark by my own feelings and emotions? God hasn't called us to do that. We're called to walk as children of light. Amen. And God's always been speaking. You go back to the book of Genesis, the very beginning, before creation. It says this, and God said, and then things happened, right? And the very first thing he said, one of the very first things is, let there be light. So what was there before light? There was just void and darkness, emptiness and darkness. That's all there was. And if you look those words up in the original language, it talks about chaos and just nothing in order, just nothing. And so God said, let there be light. Now, here's the thing. When God speaks into your life and mine, guess what? He speaks light into the darkness in your life. You know the chaos that you got going on? He wants to speak order and direction into it. So the same God who spoke at the beginning of creation over all of his creation wants to speak to you right now and say the very same thing. He wants to let there be light on the inside of you. And for that to happen, you've got to be able to hear his voice. And what's amazing is God just didn't say those few words at the start in Genesis and that was it. No, he's been talking all the way through Scripture. And if you want to use Genesis as a bookend and use Revelations as the other bookend, it's interesting. You read Revelations chapter 2 and chapter 3, and in that he's speaking to the seven churches through the Apostle John. And at the end of him speaking to every church, at the end of every paragraph, he says this seven times. He says, if anyone has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the churches. Now, here's the thing. You might think, well, that was just for those churches. You know what the word church means? Called out ones. Is there any called out ones here? Amen. You are called of the Lord. You're part of the body of Christ. So that same seven times that he spoke then, he's saying the same thing to you and I. If you have ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the churches. So here's the thing. It's not just the voice of God. But it's also our ears that are important. Think about that. God is always speaking. Here's the question. Do we have ears to hear what he's saying? If you remember last week, I did this audio. And it's online so you can hear it as well. But there's audio of four different voices. You know, we had the voices of the world. We had the voices of just people. And we had the voice of the enemy. And then the still small voice of God. And we ran that audio. And what could you hear? It was a mess, right? And then slowly I took each voice away. I extrapolated each voice till finally the only voice left was the still small voice of God. That was the, and then you could hear it. But here's the thing. That track had been running the whole time. It had been there, but we couldn't hear it because of all the other voices, of all the other noise that's in our lives. Now here's the thing. The voice of the world, the voice of others, and the voice of the enemies, you have some control over. You can control them. You can turn them back. I remember the first pastor that I sat under when I was first born again. He had this statement, and at the time, it took me a while to kind of figure it out. But he said this, you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from building a nest in your hair. Now, what does that mean? What it means is you can't stop the words from flying into your head. In other words, you know, this is like the birds flying over your head and quacking away or clacking away. You can hear it. But the thing is, it's another thing to let them say, hey, come and land on my head. You know, come and stay in my head. Come and abide here. And the thing is, you have the ability to shut off the world at times. In other words, you don't have to listen to 6 hours of news every night. You hear what I'm saying? You can choose to dial that back if you want. The same with radio. You can choose to dial that back. When the enemy speaks to you, let me tell you about something about the enemy. He has a lot to say, but most of the time it's on repeat. In other words, it sounds like he's got a lot that he's saying. But he's the accuser of the brethren. All he does is keeps repeating the same thing over and over again. It's like a broken record. What do you do with broken records in the natural? Throw them away. In other words, you can choose again to say, I refuse to hear that again. And it may be true what the devil said is something you did in your past. You say, yeah, okay, I did that. Enough. I'm done. The blood of Jesus cleansed me. I've been made whole. And now I'm walking on past that. Devil, take a hike and just move on. And that's what we have to do as believers. Control the voices. Now, there's another voice that I talked about, which is a little harder to control. Because the first three that I talk about, the voice of the world, the voice of others, and the voice of the enemy, they're external voices. But there's a voice that lives inside of you you can't get away from. And what voice is that? The voice of you. Who you are. Your spirit, small s. You know, your soul, small s. In other words, who you are. That voice that was always there as a little baby, it's been there now. You know, it's the little voice that when the worship's going on, you might be thinking about something else. Well, that's the voice I'm talking about. You get what I'm saying? It's the voice that you might look at me and say, man, I wish that guy had more hair so he wasn't so shiny. You know, you get what I'm saying? It's just that voice that does silly things at times, that goes off in tangents in different directions. It's that voice that it's who you are. Now, I'm not suggesting to get away from your voice because it's who you are. But here's the thing. That voice and God's voice, we have to discern the difference between the two. And I want to tell you something. That's one of the most difficult things to do. The voice of the world's pretty easy. You can kind of see what the difference. The voice of others, pretty easy. The voice of the enemy, for sure, you can tell the difference. But when it comes to your voice, the inner you, and God's voice, it's a little harder sometimes to discern the difference between the two. So I want to take a couple of minutes this morning and give you three definitions or three helps to help you discern the difference between the two that I hope will help you in your walk of being able to hear from God. And so the first one is this: God's voice never contradicts Scripture. John 17:17 says this: sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. In other words, if your inner voice is saying to do something, you know, for example, to give a coarse comment to someone, to belittle someone, what does the word say about that? To build up and edify, doesn't the word? So right away, you know, that's not God. That's just your own voice or some other voice. And so you need to begin to discern the difference between the two. You know, in your walk with God, what God will do when he speaks to you is often to highlight the Scriptures and to put life into it. What I mean by this, in a sense, when we read the Word of God, it's the structure. In other words, it's there. The principles are there. But here's the thing. It doesn't show me or tell me what car to buy. It doesn't tell me what relationship to be in or not. And you get what I'm saying? But here's the thing. As God speaks to you and the Word is your platform, he begins to reveal things to you. Let me give you an example from my own life that happened a number of years ago. I was praying right over there. It was during the week, you know, a couple of years ago. And I had this vision, for lack of better terms, this, you know, this picture thing that I saw. And God doesn't do this often, but this is what, I'll tell you what I saw, and then I'll relate it to what I'm talking about here. So I saw this giant bowl. It's the only way I can describe it, like a giant bowl. And it was kind of dark inside the bowl. And I saw people. I saw like this sea of humanity in there. But here's the thing. They were all moving the same way. They were swaying like this. And I heard in the background this drum beat. And the only thing I could connect to at the time is, you ever watched one of those movies where the Romans were on a slave ship and they're in charge of the slave ship and you got all the oarsmen and then you got that guy going boom, boom, boom. You like that? And then everyone's rowing in time with it. Well, that was kind of what I was sensing of the whole thing. So there was this guy doing this drum thing and he was like this being and I couldn't see what it was, just this dark figure back in the back corner, and he's drumming. And here's the thing. The people were oblivious of the drum beat, yet they were all swaying to the drum beat. And their heads were down. You could see that they were oppressed, and they were just there. And then as this thing went on, I'm like, Lord, you know, did I have too much pizza last night? Like, what is up with this? You know, what's going on? And so as I began to see this, all of a sudden it would be like a morning horizon of a sunrise. Literally up over the corner of this bowl, I saw light. Just come. And all of a sudden, the light began to hit and permeate the different individuals, the sea of humanity. And some of them stopped swaying and looked up. And I could see that the drummer, he's freaking out. He's drumming as hard as he can, you know, even more to try to get the attention of the people. Yet some began to look to the light. And that was the end of it. And I'm like, Lord, you know, what is this all about? You know, Lord, how does this help me in my walk? What is this? And here's the thing. I had been journaling. I'd been, in other words, just reading a word over months and months and months. And the Lord had given me a scripture a number of months before. And it was 1 John 5:19. And it says this, that we are from God. We are of the Lord. But the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Under the sway of the wicked one. And all of a sudden I said, oh, that's what I saw, these people swaying. Now, why did God show me that? Why did I need to see that? Let me tell you exactly why. Back at that time, I would view people in the world when they were in sin, that they were in sin, that it was on them, that it was their problem. You see what I'm saying? In other words, they need to change. They need. In other words, it was all judgment on them. And what God showed me through the vision was, it wasn't them at all. They're under the influence and control of the enemy, and they're oblivious to it. And that he wants to, with his light, with his life, to set them free. And then all of a sudden, God began to speak to me and say, you're the light of the world now. Just as all believers are light to the world. And it's our job to set people free. See, all of a sudden, my mentality towards the world, to unsaved people, to that jerk at work, you get what I'm saying? All of a sudden, it changed because I realized they're under the sway of the enemy and they don't even know it. And that our job is to bring not judgment, but what? Life and light to them. And so I'm just giving you that as an example. The voice of God spoke to me, you know, in a vision, showing me that. Why? To illuminate where I was and what I needed to hear. Here's the thing. I'm nobody special. God loves you exactly the same as he loves me. Meaning that if he'll show me that, he'll show you what you need to see for given situation in your life. But the thing is, he could only do that as I was allowing the word to permeate myself. Because again, he won't contradict his word. You know, there's lots of people saying, oh, I hear from God and this and that. I've seen and heard a lot of things. And then I say, well, where's that in the word? I'm like, well, you get, in other words, the word is our anchor. We always go back. Why do you think Christianity survived for 2,000 years? Because we have the same manual we had 2,000 years ago. It all has to go back to the word. It always has to. So God doesn't give us, quote, new revelation, but he gives us an understanding of the revelation of what's there already. Amen? So I share that story with you just to say, look, those opportunities are there for you. If you're seeking God in some area of your life, he wants to share with you. He wants to impart with you. He wants you to have the same heart as him towards mankind. He wants you to have the same heart towards your husband and your wife or to that coworker at your job. In other words, he wants you to hear from him so you can help them and help yourself. It's one of those like win-win-win deals. You know, God wins, you win, the people win in your life. It's good for everyone. As we hear from God, it will affect every one of our relationships around us. It's the most amazing miracle that takes place. Amen? And so let's move on. Number two, God's voice is never wrong. God never says, okay, Brian, I want you to do this. And then the thing flops, right? Brian does everything he's supposed to do and the thing like goes south. And God then showed, oh, Brian, I'm really sorry. I didn't see that coming. So let's do let's make a change here. God will never do that because he doesn't live in our time. He lives in the past. He lives in our present. He lives in the future. So he knows what's going to happen. And so when he says, Brian, this is what's going to happen. This is what you need to do. And Brian does it. It will happen. You can take it to the bank. You know what I'm saying? And so here's a scripture that supports that. Deuteronomy 18, verses 21 and 22. It says, and if I say, if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, and if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken, and the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. And so here it is. It's pretty clear. If it's God, it happens. And this is how you and I need to learn the voice of God. You know, it's going to be a little trial and error. It's like when you're a little kid and you learn the voices of your parents. You know, what happens is after a while the child knows, okay, don't touch the stove. Now, what does the kid do to start with when you tell them don't touch the stove? What do they, they're driven there by an invisible force, aren't they? You tell them don't do it, what do? They're headed towards it. Now, what do some of you do as parents? Let me tell you what some of you do. Before the kid gets there, you grab the kid and you slap their hand and say, don't touch it, hot, 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 hot. And you do that like 500 times, right? Then what do you finally let them do? Thank you. Now, it's under controlled circumstances. It's not like you let them go there and hold their hand for 10 minutes and singe it. You go up with them, right? They touch it, and immediately you pull it back because their senses, they don't even realize they're being burned. You pull it away, and then like, and you're like, I told you it was hot. So what is that child beginning to learn from you? Your voice. Your voice of correction, direction, guidance. But guess what? The kid had to burn his hand once. Hopefully just once. You hear what I'm saying? And the point is, in our lives, you know what we have to do sometimes? We have to try things. We think we've heard from God. It lines up with the word, because step one is what? Never contradicts the word. It lines up with the word. And what do we have to do? We have to take a step of faith and see whether it's God or not. So what if it isn't? What if the thing falls flat, fails miserably? Here's what we do. We put a little check mark, say, that wasn't the voice of God. Do not listen to that voice. You hear what I'm saying? So you know that's not God's voice. And then you proceed on and you say, Lord, I'm doing my best to listen to you. I'm doing my best to follow you. You will hear God's voice. But there may be some trial and error involved. We're all children of the King, right? We're kids. At times we're babes in a lot of ways, but we have to try. Just like that child learned, stove is hot. You know what that child does after that hand incident? All our kids, it was like that. They'd see the stove on and they'd go around it. You know why? They learned. They learned. You and I, we'll learn. That's not the voice of God. This is the voice of God. And so we learn through. through practicing the presence. We learn through walking with him. Amen. Okay, number three. God's voice serves God while your voice serves you. Listen to me. Your voice is all about you. Self-preservation, what you want to do, what you feel like doing, what makes you happy. That is your voice. God's voice really isn't about that. God's voice is about what he wants done. Now, does that mean he doesn't care about you? Of course he cares about you. But the priority is about him first, kingdom first. And because you're part of the kingdom, he wants to bless you. But can I tell you something? Your happiness is not God's number one priority. The advancement of his kingdom is his number one priority. Now, your happiness plays a role in it, but here's the thing. You know what God's more concerned about? Is the joy in your life. Because joy is of the spirit. Happiness is of the emotional realm. Emotions come and go. They flip-flop. They go all over the place. You know, and so when people say to me, they'll say something, you know, I'm going to do this. And here's their final little clause. And they say, because God, doesn't God want me to be happy? You know what that tells me right away? That wasn't Jesus talking to them. That was their own spirit talking to them. Because the number one priority of the voice of God is for his kingdom. Now, he wants to help you. He wants to bless you. I can assure you of that. I heard this very morning. I love it when this happens. When I hear a testimony that fits perfectly with what we're talking about. Ray, will you come up for a minute? Yeah, come on up. He's like, oh, man, you're going to do this to me? Yeah, I'm going to. Listen, he told me a story. Listen, the voice of God did a miracle. Come on up here. Yeah, come on. I'll make you come all the way up here. I got you.
Okay. A lot of you guys know me that when I start something, I got to finish it. So I'm about 500 yards from my house in the woods cutting some trees down Monday. And I got it all cut up, and I'm deciding I'm going to load that truck up and, you know, take it back up to the house. And I just got through listening to Pastor Carl's sermon from Sunday morning about the Lord going to talk if you listen. And something said, no, Ray, don't load that truck up. Get up to the house now. And I said, no, I'm going to load the truck up. And something like kicked me in the butt and said, no, you're going up to the house. I go up to the house. I walk inside my door, my front door. And I smell smoke. My grandson had thrown a pillow on top of a Game Boy. Within 5 minutes, I'm telling you, the house would have been in flames. You know, so listen to that voice that's super strong. That's what I'm going to tell you right now. Listen to that voice.
Jesus.
Because if I'd have said, no, load that truck up like I probably would have done 10, 15 years ago. Get that truck loaded up. My whole house would have been gone.
Amen.
So right there, I pretty much got on my knees and thanked Carl for the Sunday sermon that comes over that phone. And I just got to tell you, hey, guys, listen to that voice because it is a strong one. Listen to it.
Amen. Could be life-saving. Could be life-saving. Amen. I was talking with Alice Cowan earlier, and we were talking about, you know, 9/11 and the countless testimonies that came out of individuals, Christians, who didn't go to work in the Twin Towers that day. Why? Because they heard a voice tell them, don't go. But here's the thing, your own spirit, small s, your own soul, it's going to fight you because it's been in control for most of your life. And here's the thing, are you going to begin to listen to the Spirit of God, capital S, in your life and begin to submit to that? So God's voice serves God while your voice serves you. Galatians 5 verse 16 says this, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. I'm going to close with a story from Scripture. It's about Jesus. Can't go wrong with that, right? Amen. And so in Matthew chapter 4, he's baptized and he heads into the wilderness. The Spirit of God sends him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil for 40 days. It's interesting that the devil waits all 40 days, like 39 days before he comes along and begins to tempt him. And Jesus is hungry because he's fasting the entire time. So 40 days without food. Can I tell you, I've only done that once in my life, about 25 years ago. You are hungry. And so here's Jesus. The devil shows up and says, hey, why don't you turn these stones into bread? They're probably like round stones, you know, and they look just like loaves of bread probably. Could Jesus have done that? He absolutely could have, just like that. But he didn't. He responds to the enemy and says this, man shall not live by bread alone. It's in Matthew 4:4. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so as I was meditating on that scripture, and what happened is it was actually a couple nights ago in the middle of the night, the Lord reminded me of that story in that particular scripture. I'm like, okay, that's cool. Jesus, I've read this like 500 times. What's this got to do with anything? Well, a couple things as I began to research it out, that word where it says every word that proceeds from the mouth of God is actually the word rhema. That means the word that is meant for you at this very moment. So it's not the written word, it's the revealed word. It's like that vision I was telling you about. That was a revealed word. In other words, it was a word that I needed to hear at that moment in time. But what the Lord spoke to me, he said, son, you need to go back and see where it was first spoken. You see, when the devil tempted Jesus, all three responses were actually from the book of Deuteronomy, which is actually known by the Jews of that day was called the Book of Remembrance. The idea was they were to memorize that entire book because it was about the wilderness wanderings of the Israelites, and it was to help them in their walk of life. And so Jesus, at some point, must have memorized it because he quoted a scripture from it. Now, here's the thing. There's a principle in scripture called the principle of first mention. And what that means is when you see a scripture or a principle or a truth for the first time, it sets the precedent for every other time you see it. So when Jesus quoted it in Matthew 4:4, was that the first time that it was said? No, it wasn't. It was said centuries before in the Old Testament. So let's look at the original, because this is where I want to leave you with today. And it is in Deuteronomy 8:3. Book of Deuteronomy, the book of remembrance. Chapter 8:3. And so Moses is speaking here, okay? And he says this, and he humbled you, meaning God humbled you, and allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. So there it is. There's the original time, the first time this scripture was ever said. So you'll notice that the last half of it I underlined because that's the part that Jesus quoted. But I believe that the bigger picture, let's have a look at this for a minute as it fits today. What did God do with the children of Israel? He fed them in the wilderness, didn't he? Looked after them, cared for them. And there were times where they were a little bit hungry. And they cried out to God, and God provided for them every time. Now, what if they had never been hungry? What if they just had everything that they wanted? Would they depend on God? No. Look at your own life. Look at my life. When things are going pretty well, you know, don't we kind of, maybe you get, hey, God, you know, I'll catch you later. You get what I'm saying? It can happen to all of us. But here's the thing. It says this. He humbled you. God humbled you. He allowed you to hunger. Whoa, whoa, hold it. You're messing with my theology. What do you mean? God allowed me to do without? Well, it does say that he fed them. You didn't starve to death. You understand what I'm saying? But I do believe that God does put a hunger in us. Why? So that we'll seek him. That's why the hunger's there. It's there with a purpose. Again, the greater purpose of the kingdom, the greater purpose to see you become more than what you are right now. You see, God sees you as complete. God sees you as perfect. And what he wants to do is take you from where you are now to where he wants you to be and where you want to be as well. And so you can see here, let's read this again. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and then fed you with manna. The word manna means, you know, what is it? They didn't know. But it was supernatural that God would bring this manna from heaven, that God would provide this for them, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. You see, for you to discern the difference between your inner voice and the voice of God in your life is one simple word, humility. Because your voice says, I know what's best. And yet the still small voice of the Holy Spirit says, you need to go home. You need to go home now. And your voice is saying, no, I want to finish doing this wood. I'm not going home, coming back. What the heck's wrong with you? And that's how we are with God. We use the voice of reason. We use the voice of, I always do it this way. We use the voice of, doesn't God want me to be happy? We use all kinds of different excuses. But what God is saying here is that we need to humble ourselves. And that doesn't mean to be powerless. It doesn't mean that we do without. That's not what it means. Humble means to defer to God. In fact, in the New Testament, it says this, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due time you will be exalted. That's what the scriptures say. And so to have a spirit of humility is just to recognize that though God's voice may be quieter than your own, that he knows what he's doing. And are you willing to come to that place of humility, of bowing the knee both in the natural and in the realm of the spirit? In other words, physically bow the knee, physically do what you're told to do, but also in your heart as well, to allow him to be on the throne of your heart, to bow in submission to him, to be humble before him. You see, if you really want to walk by the Spirit, if you really want to hear the voice of God, you have to do it with humility. You can't just say, okay, God, I'm here now. Tell me what to do, I'll do it, but I'm going to do it my way. How do you think that's going to work out? No, no, God says it's my way. It's my way. So for the last 4 weeks, we've done this, all 4 weeks. I asked you, what are the four simple steps to guarantee you will hear from God? So tell me the first one. Make an appointment. In other words, make time for the Lord, right? You need to do that. Okay, what's the second one? I like Mike's interpretation, shut up and listen. Not bad. Not bad. And it's okay for you to kind of interpret what we've been saying. But can we actually have the one that we've been working on? Be still and worship. The idea is that you just have to quieten yourself down, open your heart to the Lord, and spend time just thanking him for who he is. Putting him on the throne of your heart. That's really what worship is, isn't it? Putting him on the throne of your heart to acknowledge him as number one. All right, what's the third point? Read, pray first, and then read. Absolutely. But you can do it. It's okay. As long as you're praying and reading, that's good. All right, and then the final one, listen and write it down. So I'd like everyone to stand right now. I'm going to give you all an opportunity. You know, we believe in action steps here at Reach Out Church. You know, we don't just talk about God. We believe in working with him, of doing what he's called us to do. And so at the front here, we've got these little journals that we've made up. And in them, we have on the back of a little card, we have those four action steps. And then on the front, we have a 30-day reading plan. And so they're up here. Now, here's the thing. We have some great ushers. How many know that we have some great ushers, right? We got some great people. And it would be very easy for me to say, hey, okay, ushers, hand them out to everyone. But I was talking to the Lord about it, and he just talked to me about the fact that there are some times that we need to take an act of faith. So here's the thing. If the ushers were going around, everyone would graciously take a book and say thank you. But here's my question to you. Do you really want one? You know, will this be useful to you? Maybe you already got a journal. You don't need any of this. You're doing this already. But maybe you're not. So here's what you need to do. If you want these books, then I'm going to ask you to come up here and grab one and stand up here in the area, up in the front here. And what we're going to do in closing is just pray. And just pray a blessing over what you're going to put your hand to. I am convinced, and I've heard other stories. Ray's was just amazing. We had to hear that. But I'm hearing all kinds of stories. I'm getting more correspondence from this series than I ever have from any other series combined. Literally, it's been amazing. Daily, just getting emails and phone calls and all kinds of things. And I've been thrilled about it. I don't want it to end here. Not for you and not for me personally. Take what you've learned. Share it with others. Encourage them. God is speaking, and you can hear from him. Amen? So listen, if you want one of these journals, come on up, grab one. Just stand up here in the area up here. Again, no pressure on anyone. If you want to stand where you are, you stand there. But come on up. If we can be of use to you and give you a tool to help you, we want to do that. And then we'll take a minute and pray and close and release you. Thank you, Lord. The 30-day reading plan is the Gospel of John. Oh, and if you don't have a Bible, out in the foyer there are Bibles available for free. Just grab one, all right? So if you don't happen to have a Bible, please feel free to grab one. So everyone, please grab one, and then we're going to pray. Thank you, Lord. And after I pray, listen, if you've got a friend or a neighbor that could use one of these journals, feel free to take a second one. I just want to make sure everyone's got one here. But please take them all. In other words, you got some people you can pass these on to. I encourage you to do that. So grab hold of your journal right now. Let's just take a minute and pray. Father, I am so grateful that we were able to talk about hearing from you. And for some of us, it's become fairly natural because we just hear from you. But for some of us here, it's a struggle because of just all the other voices that are going on in our lives. And so I pray that as we've taken these tools that you've given us, Lord, that we would be able to more clearly hear your voice. So Lord God, I just pray a blessing upon every person here as they take the action steps and take steps of faith to hear from you, Lord God. Most important of all, just to take time aside. In doing that, that's the greatest way you'll speak to us. But Lord, as they take the other steps as well, Lord, that they would hear from you. So bless each person here. Bless those that will hear this message through the internet and through CDs and all those kinds of things as well. Lord God, that we would hear from you. That we would walk as children of light. We thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you this morning.